We're doing the Drashot Taran. Last week we had begun the 11th speech, and the Ran had focused on the pasuk Shofetim Veshoterim Titen Lecha Bechol Sharecha. The Torah gives us a commandment to appoint judges and policemen. The Ran had discussed that ordinarily human beings need a justice system. You need a court because that's what ensures that people adhere to basic morality, because otherwise people would destroy one another. Competitiveness would be destructive of society without a legal system. And then the Ran had said, but we need a court system for other reasons, not only for that, but also because we have a Torah, and we have to ensure that the Torah is adhered to. And so our legal system is not only about keeping the civility of society intact, but also to ensure we adhere to the Torah. Imeyochen beota avera efsed yishuvi medini klal. We're on page Tafyud Bet. The court has to ensure we adhere to the Torah, even if transgressing that mitzvah does not affect civilization. A person chooses to eat pork in his own home, it has nothing to do with his neighbor, it would seem. And yet, the courts have a certain responsibility to that. Undoubtedly, each aspect has two aspects, as he'll explain. There are going to be times that the Torah laws are affected by civil needs, and there are going to be times that civil needs are affected by Torah laws. There's this overlap. Ha'echad. Firstly, yechayev la'anish ez ha'ish kefi mishpat tzodek amiti. Sometimes you have to punish a person because that's what's just. The guy decides that he's going to park his car and block access to emergency vehicles. So he doesn't care that there's a fire hydrant there, and he parks his car where emergency vehicles can't come. So that means he's endangering the buildings in the vicinity. So then, as part of running a society, you have to give him a ticket, right? That's what we do. We have policemen, they give tickets, and a guy chooses to board the train and not pay. So you'll say, what's wrong with that? And the answer is, if people don't pay, then how's the train going to function? You need to enforce certain rules, because otherwise it doesn't work. He's stealing from the train company. Vasheni, second, she'en roi la'anish kfi mishpat tzodek amiti, avli yechayev la'anisho kfi tikun tzedor medini v'kfi tzorech hashah. And you also have to factor that sometimes you can't just calculate what's fair to this person, but sometimes there's a need that pertains to that time. So let's say there are flagrant violations of people parking in front of fire hydrants. So you have to give a bigger ticket. You can't just say, well, generally it's enough to give him a ticket of 50 shekel and a pat on the wrist and he's fine. No, if right now you know everyone's doing it, if you don't give him a hefty fine, so then people won't stop doing it. There's a street. Yesterday, I was standing at the light and the light that says you can cross turned red, and a mother and her daughter wanted to run and catch the train. They ran. So, two-lane street, and the first car that's in front of us is a big van. So, they run in front of the van to cross the street. So, the first car they cross, the cross signal just turned red, so he isn't yet driving, and he sees them. What the mother didn't realize is that behind the van there was this little car. And as she approached from behind the van, the little car started driving and almost killed her daughter. So I'm standing there watching this. I yelled, and I hoped that the driver would hear me and stop. And thank God the girl wasn't killed, and the mother wasn't killed, and everyone's okay. And I said to myself, if I had a way of reporting this, if I had a way of giving that lady a ticket, I would. If I had a way of ensuring that there's a policeman here and that anyone that crosses on red gets a ticket, I would do that. Because people are risking their children's lives. People don't even realize it. Look at what that mother did. If she thought that she almost killed her daughter, that she was risking, she wouldn't do it, right? So sometimes you have to factor in other factors, not just, oh, the guy crossed on red, we'll give him a ticket. come on, give me a break. No, sometimes if you don't enforce it, people are going to endanger themselves or endanger other people.
השם יתמרח ייחד כל אחד מהעניינים האלו לקט מיוחדת וציווה שיתמנו השופטים לשפוט המשפט הצודק האמיתי.
So Hashem gives us these needs and Hashem says, okay, you have a responsibility to appoint judges and they have to give a true ruling. והוא אמרו, and that's what the Torah says, ושפטו אותם משפט צדק. They have to give a just ruling. What does the Torah mean by that? What does that mean, they have to give a just ruling? The Torah is telling you judges have to factor in a lot of things in giving their ruling. It's not like a computer, punch in the details and give out the answer. They have to understand what's right, what does society need today. And that's why the Torah uses the term Mishpat Tzedek. Klomar, Balevayel, the Torah is explaining, Ashoftim Ha'ele, Le'eze Dava Yitmanu V'mekocham Gadol. The Torah is saying, what are the judges' responsibilities? V'amar She'tachlit Menuyamu K'dei Lishpot Etam Mishpat Tzedek Amiti Be'atzmo. Torah says, let them ensure they give a just ruling. V'en Yecholtam Over B'yoter Mizeh. And they can't go beyond that. Their jurisdiction is to go according to the laws of the Torah. ומפני שסידור המדיני לא ישלם בזה לבדו, השלים השם יתברך תיקונו במשפט המלך.
Hashem says, okay, judges are limited. Sometimes judges can't do anything. Like the Talmud tells a story, I think it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, I'm not sure, he saw two people having a fight, and then one of them pulled out his sword and chased after the other one. I'm going to kill you! He's running after him with the sword. So the rabbi runs after them and he sees the two enter a tent and the guy runs into the tent with his sword and he comes out and his sword is dripping with blood. He looks into the tent and he sees the other fellow flapping on the ground and then dies. So the rabbi looks at the killer and he says, who killed him? Me or you? Because there's only two of us here and it wasn't me. But what can I do? The Torah says, I need two witnesses. And even if I had two witnesses, the Torah says, I have to have seen it. And I didn't. What I have is circumstantial evidence. I didn't see you commit the crime. I cannot take you to court. The rabbi said, I can't do anything to you, even though I know you killed. Okay, God should take care of you. And a snake comes out and bites the guy and he drops dead. So the Talmud tells us that story. The Talmud tells us sometimes you're limited. Sometimes you say, I can't do anything. I'm a court, and the court has to work by certain rules, and that means sometimes the court can't do anything, even though the court knows something has to be done. For that purpose, the Torah said, have a king. Because the king is supposed to supplement the judicial system. Where the courts can't intervene, the king can do whatever he wants and he doesn't have to answer to anyone. So when the Torah gives the king this tremendous power, the Torah's intention is that the king will fill in the gaps. The courts have to function based upon rules. If the courts will always say, well, we think this is the way it should be done, so what? So then you're not working based on the Torah. You're working based on what you think should be done. The Torah gives a system. You have to work based on the system. The Torah also gives you a filler for all those gaps where the system won't cover it. That's why we have a king. Yes, sir?
It could fill all the gaps. I'm saying it could...
A king can't be everywhere.
No, but I'm saying if there's a... some point, this was a while back, we were talking about if a girl is in college and then she gets married and then they find out she's not a virgin and she has three claims that she could say. But if she says... if she says it's Makel Etz, then we don't believe her. Is that one we don't believe her on?
What's your point?
My point is, can the king come in and decide and say, yeah, she's not lying?
Let's wait and see the run.
Okay.
Generally, the king cannot interfere against the Torah. Where the Torah or Chazal have a ruling, the king cannot walk in and say, no, this time rule differently. Yeah. In that sense, he does not fill the gaps. We see the story of... who was it? I forgot the name. Give me 1 second. Nope. Who was it? There were 70 witches in his days.
They killed all of them.
Right. Who was it? Oh, I forgot the name now. Okay. Yes.
I don't understand why the necessity for the king in this particular instance concept, because I thought that the court had the power to make exceptions to their normal legal system, so you could execute someone.
Very good. Let's hear out the run. You're 100% right. Let's hear out the run. Your question is 100%. ונבאר זה עוד בשנניח צד אחד מן הצדדים. Let's give an example, and then we'll understand this better. הרי ששנינו בפרק היו בודקין. The Talmud tells us in tractate Sanhedrin, מכירים אותו גוי הרג או ישראל הרג. The Talmud says over there, we ask the witnesses, you saw a murder? Do you know the murderer? Do you know the person who was killed? Do you know if he was a Jew or a non-Jew? Hetritem? Did you give a warning before he killed? Kibelatra? Did the person say, I don't care? Did you know that he heard your warning? Hetiratzmo lemita? Did you tell him, you know, if you do this, you'll get the death penalty? And he says, I don't care. Meaning he's willing to accept the death penalty for what he does.
He has to be warned on killing.
Did he kill within 2 seconds of your warning? So we have many details. The idea is he has to know who he's killing. Meaning if a person thinks he's killing an animal and turns out to be a human. If a person, there are details. You have to have intent and you have to know. The Talmud didn't say there's a difference whether he thought he was killing a Jew or a non-Jew. The Talmud said, do the witnesses know if the person who was murdered is Jewish or not? They asked them many questions. Was it day? Was it night? Was it under a tree? Was it not under a tree? Was the person wearing dark clothing or white clothing? When they cross-examined the witnesses, they ask them a ton of questions. Some of the questions, if they don't know the answer, we won't accept their testimony. Some of the questions, it's legitimate for them to say, I don't know. Some of the questions are to ensure they're not lying. We'll cross-examine the two witnesses separately. We'll ask them, and once they contradict, the testimony's gone. So if one of them says he was wearing sandals, and the other one says he was wearing shoes, so we'll say, okay, you guys saw a different case, right? You're not a pair of witnesses. We don't have testimony here. One of them says it was in the morning. The other one says, no, it was in the afternoon. So they contradicted one another. One of them says it was the morning. And the other one says, I don't remember what time it was. So again, there are certain details where you're allowed to say, I don't remember. There are certain details where if you don't remember, we don't accept your testimony. So the Talmud goes into all the details. Which ones are, but we ask a lot of questions. You know, what color hair does he have? Was he also wearing a sweater, just a shirt? Then Safek, you know, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He asked them, the tree under which the crime was committed, was it blossoming or not? What state was it in? And when he asked them, were there figs on the tree or not? When he asked them those questions, he was able to trip up the witnesses. He saved the person's life. Until that point, they thought the witnesses were telling the truth and the person was going to get the death penalty. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a student at the court. That's why he was given the nickname Ben Zakkai, because no one could catch these witnesses. And he asked them, was the tree blossoming? What state was the tree in under which the crime was committed? And there, the two witnesses, under cross-examination, contradicted one another. And with that, the evidence was tossed out of the court.
That's enough.
In a contradiction, yeah. Coming back to here.
But if he would have said, I don't know. Because
so on certain things, they're allowed to say, I don't know. That's what I said. On certain parts of the testimony, it's okay to say, I don't know. You can't say, I don't know if it was morning or night.
Yeah.
If you don't know when the crime was committed, then you can never be caught as a liar. Meaning, if part of what we're trying to do is corner them into an as much information as possible so that we can afterwards work to verify if we have proof of them lying. So certain components are critical. Yes, sir.
Was this a case where Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was trying to save a person, potentially to not become a bloody court?
We always try to find the person innocent. The goal always, the court always has a goal to find the person innocent.
Isn't that flawed? They're missing the point. The point is to what happened.
So the Torah tells us that our goal is not just verifying what happened, but also we are a little bit slanted in that we are looking to find the person innocent. Our perspective is, if he deserves the death penalty and we didn't kill him, God will take care of him. We're not. If we don't have witnesses, if the witnesses contradicted one another, then we don't have a right to do anything to him.
Why would you want a king?
Okay, so let's hear out the Ran, and we'll see as we go on.